Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. I'm Erin Fulton, and joining me live in studio this morning, I have visiting from sunny California, Sage, Rosie, and Nathan here for a UC Santa Cruz Global Change Biology course. Thank you all for making it into the radio this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Erin.
Yes. So this is a course that's been coming up to Sitka now in, you know, prime time of year, February, for the last number of years. But for folks who haven't heard of this course before, if any of you wanted to talk about, just in a nutshell, what is global change biology? What's the kind of the goal, the main meaning behind the course?
Yeah. So our course is mostly looking at how are the oceans changing with climate change, other environmental changes, and how are the critters and the plants in the ocean changing with environmental change. And so we're 22 students coming from California, a little different environment.
Slightly so.
And we are all doing some projects to kind of figure out what is going in the ocean up here. Yeah.
So you've had your time back in Santa Cruz getting in prepped for these different group projects, and then you have just a month here in Sitka to actually go through everything. And you've been here since the beginning of February, so things are wrapping up, and it's this Wednesday will be kind of the show and tell to the community. So with your different projects, Sage, why don't we start with you? What was it that you were looking at for your time here in Sitka?
Yeah, so originally in Santa Cruz, we were really interested in crabs and their eggs here. But then we came to Sitka and we realized that they don't have eggs yet. So we switched to urchins and how they eat seaweed. And it's really interesting because we were really interested in how much they eat and how much they poop out. And so we're in the wet lab every single day trying to see how much of the seaweed in their containers that they eat and how it might change if they have hotter water or water with more carbon dioxide in it. And we were really piggybacking off of people in Christy Croker's lab, Lily Westfall and Lauren Bell, and we really piggybacked off their methods and are really interested in seeing what we could add to it.
Awesome. So with these urchins, it's like minor changes. Okay, see, like you're the overlords to these tiny urchins. So like, all right, I've changed it. Let's see how you react. So what, I guess, I don't want to give anything away, I guess, for Wednesday. Was there anything that you particularly found interesting in what you saw or surprising?
Oh, tons of things. I think a lot of what we were interested in is how much they will be stressed by the heat and by the carbon dioxide in the water. And we found some interesting things that I also don't want to spoil for Wednesday. Please come by to check that out. But lots of cool things about how much they eat and what type of seaweed they like to eat in stressful conditions.
I like to think of that they also have, like, I'm stressed out and I need to eat a certain thing, just like me.
Yeah.
Everyone has
comforts.
Comfort food, right. Yeah. Even urchins, they're not that different. Awesome. So you are doing your work in the wet lab, bringing the creatures to you.
Yes.
And Rosie and Nathan, you were going to the creatures. You two were in the scuba group. Can you, what were you looking at for your time here?
Yeah, I can, so a little bit of background. The sunflower sea star used to be a pretty abundant predator here in the Sitka Sound, as long as I think they range all the way down to it's like Southern California was kind of their cutoff range. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, maybe 10 years at this point, they endured a massive die-off, almost 100% mortality, and there few are left here in the Sitka Sound. So we've come up here and we have some in the lab that we've been releasing and putting in cages and monitoring urchin density. So how many urchins are close to the sea star? Do the urchins get scared of the sea star?
Okay.
Do they eat kelp and seaweeds close to the sea star? Are they prioritizing consumption, or are they fleeing away to save themselves?
Okay.
So
for this, the sunflower stars you're bringing down, you said you're not just like letting them run free. This is like they're in a contained area just to see how the urchins will react.
Correct.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So for that, do you have underwater, like, do you have, like, plots underwater of, like, how you're going to monitor these things? Like, how, the water here in February, I mean, the water here is never warm. The water here in February definitely isn't bath water. When you're doing underwater research like this, how often or how long are you able to observe things? Do you have, like, remote cameras? Like, how are you monitoring this urchin behavior?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've been doing, like, we are kind of limited. We do one or two dives. Our tanks are usually lasting us about an hour, and that hour is mainly used for setting everything up. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a cage with a sea star in it, and there's lines going off of the cages with kelp and seaweeds that are attached to these lines. And then we're going down and doing, like, a survey method, like counting urchins on scuba and quantifying that on our slate, like a underwater piece of paper, which is really interesting. Yeah. And we also have underwater cameras that we have doing a kind of minute photo. Mm-hmm. Every time lapse kind of takes a photo every minute. So we can look back at that and see kind of how urchin's movement, because it is very slow.
Yeah, it's nature's fastest creatures.
Yeah, it's a very slow motion battle.
But if you come on Wednesday, you might be able to see some pretty cool time lapses.
Ooh, yeah. So for Wednesday, great segue, Rosie. Thank you. Wednesday is going to be the opportunity for you guys to show off to Sitka. You know, this is what we've been working on. This is what we're showing. And that's happening Wednesday at the Mill Building at 5:30 p.m. And it's just going to be kind of quick teasers. So if folks are like, I don't know if I can sit through an hour and a half science lecture, it's going to be a little zippier than that.
Yes, it'll be hopefully exciting and engaging. Yeah.
So why did you guys choose to come to, you know, take this course, to come to Sitka in February? Mm. Like, what was it that about this course and the, you know, the opportunities you have here that drew you into wanting to spend a month here?
Well, most of us are marine bio majors, as you know, but I think a lot of it is being adventurous and going to a place that a lot of us have never even been before. And well, for the scuba divers, the visibility in the water in February is the best. But for the non-scuba divers, I think it was just a new adventure that we could get to connect with the community. A lot of people have been volunteering at the Raptor Center or going to Fiddle Night or mm-hmm. just hanging around town meeting new people. So definitely getting engaged with new people.
Cool. Yeah. So getting that, because there's a pretty nice and strong connection between the Sitka Sound Science Center in Sitka and UC Santa Cruz. So we're just making a couple more connections.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So some of this research is kind of singular projects, some building off of others. When you leave Sitka, where is this research going to? I'm assuming you're going to have some coursework or what have you back in Santa Cruz before the end of the semester. What will that look like for you guys?
Yeah. So we actually have, after we leave Sitka, we have about a month to write our scientific papers to turn in just for our course with our group. And then some of us might also kind of continue our research throughout our studies in school, doing, like, kind of building off of our projects and doing more full senior thesis projects for graduation, or also publishing them in scientific journals to kind of reach a wider net of the scientific community, which is really exciting.
That is exciting. as to have a course really and have that submitted for publication. Mm-hmm. And that is a long process.
Yes. As, science is slow.
Yeah, science, yeah. tries its best, but yeah, sometimes there's, yeah, those hurdles to overcome. But the Sitka Sound Science Center adds a connection. So if folks are really intrigued about the different work you've been doing, they can check back in with the Science Center, learn more. Amazing. Anything that, during your time here that, I guess, something you're going to bring back to the sunny reaches of California? Do you think any of you will be, you know, back here to Sitka to do more work? Or is this like, yep, I like warmer water better. Tropics is going to be my game.
Yeah, that's a great question. I personally am excited to get back to California and take the dry suit off.
Right.
So wearing a wetsuit is very exciting. But I also am going to greatly miss Sitka, having the snow on the ground, and just the community here has been very, very engaging and welcoming, and we really appreciate that. And I think leaving is kind of a bittersweet moment, going back to sunny but also very stormy recently California. So
yeah, I know that we have a history of having some UC Santa Cruz transplants in Sitka, so you probably will be seeing some of us.
Sitka has a way of doing that.
Yeah, it's, you kind of hook us in. So yeah,
awesome. Well, we are just about out of time here this morning. This is going to be the culmination of your time here in Sitka on Wednesday, the Mill Building at the Science Center, 5:30 p.m. to hear about the work that's been done by 22 students with two professors and grad students and all this stuff from the Global Change Biology course. I'm glad you guys have been doing research in Sitka. It's kind of, I think it's a good thing to remember that science happens all times of the year, not just in the, like, it's not always glamorous. Sometimes you're in a dry suit in freezing February water, but it's all done for the pursuit of knowledge. So thank you all, Sage, Rosie, and Nathan, for coming in this morning. And we're looking forward to hearing the work that you've done this past month.
Awesome. Thank you so much,
Thank you so much, Erin.